Blog Talk Radio.
Today is December 16th, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, wishing you a happy and wonderful day. I hear bells a-jingling, and the feeling of the holidays are truly in the air. I hope you're in the mood and the spirit of it all, too. It's certainly my favorite time of year, time to celebrate and get together with families and friends, time to make some resolutions, too. And the top of my list, yes, the top of my list is to be more fierce than before. Yeah. I am going to kick my own fierceness up a notch in 2014, take it to a new level, raise my own bar, all of that. And I know just how I am going to start, too. I am going to be starting at fierceforblackwomen.com. You know, you got to know where to go to get what you want, and that's what I want. And you know what else? Today I have the amazing privilege of talking to one of the fiercest black women on the planet. She's one of the founders of fierceforblackwomen.com, and she is my special guest today, and we are going to be in for some great inspiration. We're going to be motivated to rock this thing we call fierceness and roar like we know it. I am so happy to welcome Yannick Rice Lamb to the Foxology stage. Good morning again.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I am so wonderfully blessed and so excited to have you as a guest on my show today. Just really looking forward to helping all of us embrace the things that you are doing and all of us take it to a new level. Even starting today, we don't have to start to 2014. But I want to start out talking about a few things about you. You are truly, you give fierceness a whole other existence. Your history in the area of journalism and the history that you've been making, and you're a true mover and shaker. And I want to talk about some of those things. It would take some time to read it all, but let's talk about it. Starting where you are, you're doing a wonderful job right now at Howard University. Let's start there.
Oh, yes. I've been at Howard since fall of 2001, and I really love working with the students. I learn as much from them as I try to impart into them. And one of the things that one of my colleagues likes to say is that we teach what we do, and we do what we teach. So I try to bring a lot of practical experience to the classroom to help them make their dreams come true. And we have some really talented students at Howard, and I've been really proud of the current students I have and the former students that I've had. They've gone on to do great things.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They sure have a wonderful teacher and mentor in you, and you're being very humble, but you are an award-winning journalist and author, and so many other successes to your credit. And I want you to share that. I mean, there's so many of them. Tell us about your getting into journalism and some of the pathways that it's taken you through.
Oh, I've really had a blessed life and a blessed career. I really have to count my blessings for that. And I was always interested in writing. My parents instilled a love of reading in me, and I used to read the newspaper with my grandfather. So I kind of became interested in journalism and art and things like that early on. I went to Ohio State, majored in journalism there, and then became a reporter and a copy editor of the Toledo Blade in Ohio, went to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution from there, and then through the New York Times. And I had always had a passion for magazines, so I switched over to the New York Times magazine division and started working at Child Magazine. I had been freelancing all along, so then Essence invited me to come work there for 6 weeks to fill in for the executive editor and turn into a year. And at the same time, BET was trying to launch a new magazine with the New York Daily News called BET Weekend, and I had always wanted to start a magazine, so that was a wonderful opportunity to do that. And then once they acquired Heart and Soul, I was promoted to editorial director to do both of those. And after they sold the company and spun off the magazines, I started thinking about one of my other interests, which was teaching. My father was a professor at Albany State College, Albany State University in Georgia, and I had been doing a lot of work with Howard and had a lot of interns there, and they were happened to be looking for someone who had a magazine and newspaper background, so I said that must be where I'm meant to be. So that worked out, and I've been there ever since. And so during that time, I've kept my hand in journalism while keeping my hand in the classroom. So that's what brings me back here today. And so since I always had an entrepreneurial interest to start a magazine, things like that, we've been talking about, you know, doing something for black women. And a lot of women I've been speaking to, is, you know, that I've been speaking around the country, have asked me about, you know, starting something for women over 35. So Sherry Crute, I've worked with her off and on at Heart and Soul since its founding. She was originally my editor. You know, we were bouncing around the idea, and then so we birthed Fierce last month.
And it's already making a huge impression, I know. So tell us a little bit more about what you guys talked about and what your motivation, initial motivation. Of course, we understand your target market, but there had to be something really stirring in you to, with all of that you've already accomplished. You certainly didn't have to come up with a new thing. You have tremendous success already in your life. So what was your motivation for doing this?
There were several things. One thing, I think, was that we wanted to start something that was for black women by black women. That was one thing. The other thing was that there's a lot of wonderful media out there for younger women, but there isn't that much for women over 35. And then another thing was that there's been a lot of, you know, negative messages sometimes, or less than positive messages about black women, whether it's about our ability to be married, or, you know, so-called anger issues, or weight, or different things. And, you know, some of that wasn't the reality of what we see in our daily lives and what we see among the women in our lives, too, our friends and family. So we kind of wanted to take a cup-half-full approach and, you know, be realistic about some of the challenges we face, but be proactive in addressing them, but also to celebrate who we are as black women, too, and to tell another version of our story, tell the true version of our story. And so one of the great things about this site is it's also given us an opportunity to present, you know, women in the prime of their lives. So sometimes you don't see those images, you know, all the time in the media, you know, with our little fine wrinkles and stuff, but we still look great because of the melanin in our skin, you know, the different skin tones, and, you know, seeing a little bit of the salt and pepper in our hair, or wherever we are at that point. And just, you know, a lot of women, you feel differently as you hit 30 and 40 and 50. And so whether women are 35 or 55, they all want the best out of life, and we wanted to help them achieve that and maintain that and to stay fierce. So we have a strong focus on health and well-being, although we deal with other things like, you know, finances too, because all of that impacts our lives and how we feel. It's all interconnected. So we're taking a holistic approach
So you want to have things that, you know, the serious but also fun, too, and try to connect women, you know, online as well as offline. So, you know, through, we're in the process of planning some live events around the country, and then different, you know, readers want to plan meetups in their communities, too, whether they're healthy happy hours. There's some women in California who want to meet at the stairs there and, you know, practice exercising on that. So, you know, just little things like that as well as larger events as we go on, too.
Well, that answers probably a lot of what I was going to ask you, too, when it comes to the mission and the message. I was about to ask you, were you going to also focus on conferences, but it sounds like you've got some opportunities to do some things that will allow most any woman who would want to come on board with your mission to do things in most any town across the country.
Yes.
How are you reaching women for that who might be interested?
Well, we've on the first Tuesday of the month, we're having tweet chats or Twitter chats online. And so the one that we had in December, a number of women who were online, they expressed interest in, you know, doing things in their communities, and they kind of volunteered to kind of be fierce ambassadors to kind of spearhead those things. So sometimes we may have things that are unique to a certain city or community, depending what people want to do there. And sometimes it may be something larger and national that where people may gravitate to, you know, one city, or it's a series of events around the country. And then also, as I mentioned with like the tweet chat, you know, meeting women in cyberspace. So we have various social media accounts. A lot of women are talking on Facebook and things like that, and Twitter, and, you know, sharing images on Pinterest, and you know, through our website as well. So we want to reach women wherever they are in any form or fashion that works for them, because we know that women are busy too. So if, you know, somebody wants to curl up on the sofa with their laptop or their mobile phone or a tablet or something for a Twitter chat or to send us a message or to do whatever they want to do, we can do that. And we want to have face-to-face, you know, get-togethers. We want to work out with women. We want to go to spas, maybe travel together. So we want to have a mixture of different things. As well as part of our Fierce Circle of Sisters, we want to you know, give women the opportunity to meet around common issues and concerns. So if they want to walk together or train for a marathon, or if they, you know, are dealing with fibroids and they want to talk with other women who are dealing with fibroids, or dealing with women who are, you know, juggling caregiving responsibilities. So we want to kind of create that space so that we can share information with each other and continue to live fierce lives, or if we're not quite there yet, to become fierce.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that your message is to be fierce, and it's an interesting word. We use it a lot to be descriptive about ourselves or situations and things like that, but what does that mean? When you talk about what you're doing, when you say fierce, what are you talking about, Yannick?
Well, we developed what we call the Fierce Manifesto, and it opens by saying to be fierce is to be fit, fabulous, healthy, powerful, joyous, and peaceful, to discover great health and experience how it enriches your life. To be fierce is to embrace all that's wonderful about being a black woman, to live your dreams, celebrate your strengths, and appreciate your true beauty. It means being confident and unapologetically you. So that's how we start that, and people want to see more of that. We have it on our website. But we talk about shattering stereotypes. We talk about living our healthiest lives, and that means, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, all the different ways that we can, you know, be healthy. So, you know, we want to do that. We want to also, you know, provide a range of different information, whether they're videos, whether they're shorter pieces, whether they're long, in-depth investigative pieces or series or things like that. So we kind of really want to take a closer look at the things that affect our lives that we don't always read and hear about. And also, one of the things that we try to do, we have a regular health news feature, sometimes to go beyond some of the studies that you hear or new information that you hear about health, because sometimes it applies to us, and sometimes there's a little piece that needs to be tweaked a little bit and explained how that really affects us and our families. So that's one of the things we want to do, too, is kind of translate that information and kind of go behind the news.
Okay. I want to ask a question regarding something that you had reflected on a little bit earlier, a couple minutes ago, and something that I had actually wanted to make sure we talked about coming out of the gate. You mentioned that African-American women can often get a bad rap when it comes to some of the labeling that's done. And, you know, of course we know in totality it's just error messages. They're negative messages, and they're not true in their absoluteness. So when you approach what you're doing, specifically, what are some of the messages that you want to make sure that you target? You mentioned about being the angry black woman, and I know I often see things on the internet in reference to that and how that's a message that's being blown, I think, probably way out of proportion. I'd like for you to reflect on what you think that means, for one thing, and then how you may be taking an approach to breaking that down so that we can be seen in all of our glory.
Well, I think part of it is showing, you know, what all the wonderful things that we're doing. And then also, if we do find ourselves angry or in pain or living in the drama zone, it's kind of sharing resources and tips on how to step away from that. You know, even things like limiting the time with people who are negative, you know, helping them overcome it. But, you know, even like in one of our health news we talked about, it said something like, "'Tis the season to zip your lips about your cousin's hips." So it's like sometimes over the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas or whatever, some, you know, Kwanzaa, whatever, somebody will say, "Look like you put on a few pounds." So, you know, we're offering some tips on how to deal with that. Like, maybe that's not what you want to say right now, because, you know, maybe you want to be more of a role model, and, you know, maybe you want to get everybody up from the table and take a walk after Thanksgiving and, you know, show what you're doing or work together with people or something like that, but not to feed into negativity, but, you know, being positive and helping people lose weight if they need to lose weight in your family, or if you need to take them to the doctor or go to the doctor with them or have a buddy system where both of you are getting, you know, breast cancer screenings at the same time. But, you know, sometimes I think one of the problems with some of the negative messages is that it has an impact on our psyche and our self-esteem and also our younger sisters and our girls. So, you know, we don't want to kind of perpetuate that and having people buy into things like that unnecessarily. And also with all the reality shows on TV, while they may be interesting to watch at times, some of them are not always giving us the most positive messages about how to address conflict or how to avoid conflict or how to minimize it. So, you know, we need to keep those things in balance and have balance in our lives, because that feeds into stress, and the more stress we have, it, you know, it weakens our health and things like that. And we don't need that, because we already have, we're making too many records in the wrong direction for almost every health condition you can think of. Because I mentioned breast cancer. We don't get breast cancer more than white women, but we die more often from it. So, you know, things like that, sometimes letting people know what the reality is so they get the reality check, but then also being proactive about it so we're not afraid of different things, because sometimes people go into denial instead of going to the doctor when they need to. So, you know, kind of
that's true.
Helping people, holding their hand when they need to, and, you know, like I said, breaking it down and being it's given to them straight, no chaser, when you need to do that too. But I think we have too many strengths and too much beauty to, you know, just get beat up all the time with some of the messages that are out there. And I've seen that. I've had to counter some of those messages. Like I was telling someone even yesterday, one of my nieces, when she was younger, she had some thing in her head that, you know, black women couldn't get along, and if you had too many of us together, it was going to be a problem, and, you know, things like that. She didn't want to stay in the dorm of a program that I was helping her be in. And I said, I told her that wasn't my reality, that I've worked with a lot of black women for a healthy chunk of my career, and it's been absolutely wonderful. Not perfect, but absolutely wonderful. And we agreed to disagree, and if there were any problems, we'd squash it, but we kept it moving. And it's been some of the richest times of my life. So I said, don't believe the hype and don't buy into that, especially at an early age. So I think that's one of the consequences.
You're absolutely right, and I love that you are challenging that thinking, and that is exactly what I was going after when I asked you the question, because we, you know this, of course, if we are thinking a certain type of negative way, the situation is happy to meet our expectations. We'll look for that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll often even help to create it in an unconscious way, because we're just, ready to respond because of the perception has hit us first. So I think that's wonderful, and I really do want that stigma to get up off of us about the being angry, because I really don't think that black women are any angrier than anybody else about the stuff and things that go on. Maybe we just are a little good.
Exactly. I like to be happy most of the time. I smile a lot. I'm pretty laid back. But if you press that button and you step on it and jump on it, you're going to get a reaction. And sometimes I am unapologetic about that reaction. Pushed me there at that point. I'm not naturally always angry. And a lot of the women I know aren't either. So I think that's one of the things we have to look at. One of the pieces that we've ran that got a lot of attention, a lot of women really resonate with a lot of women, was called Cape May Ladies Say Goodbye. And it's about a group of women who've been going to Cape May, New Jersey for a girlfriend's getaway for years, and how they've shared, ups and downs, joys and pain and things like that. The woman who organized it, Brenda Boxer, she passed away from cancer, so they had a tribute to her on the beach this year. So we were talking about, about that linking her scarves that her husband sent up as a way to link themselves to each other and to Brenda, and just about how what that trip means to them and what they get out of it and how it's helped them and the joy they've gotten on it. And it's just a form of relaxation, too, to get away from some of the stresses. So, I think it kind of doubles as a friendship and as a travel piece, and that's one of the things that we look at in our section called Ties, is that we'll be running things on not just on all types of relationships, whether they're, intimate relationships, family relationships, friendships, relationships with our children in terms of parenting. So, we want to look at all those different things, because all those things are important to our lives, too.
Yes, for sure. And since we are on the subject of relationships, let's look at a couple of areas, too. And you did emphasize one of them just a couple minutes ago, too, and that's about girlfriends. I want to talk about that. And then, again, the other negative imaging that can sometimes be over us regarding being married or single, and particularly single and in position for Mr. Right to come along. And let's just tackle one first. You mentioned about your experiences with other African-American women at work and in life, and them being very positive. And I am sure that the majority of us at some ages and stages can say the same thing, that it's just been wonderful. We develop sisterhood very easily. But there is this imaging in media. There are TV shows where women are constantly, claws are out at each other. And I think sometimes that gives the impression that to be at odds or in contention or in escalated conversations really is the norm. You still love, it's love hate. But I would really like for you, who you've made these things your mission to message to us. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are from your own experience.
Okay. Yes, as I mentioned earlier, I think things like the whole notion of being a bad girl, that I think we have to kind of flip that, because some of the things that I've seen on some of those shows are just cruel. And I know, the women in my life, they've helped me, we have fun together, we've traveled together, we've helped each other through all sorts of things, whether it's loss or, a broken heart, or you need some extra money, or that doesn't look right on you. You might want to try this, or let's get up and take a walk, or, you know, whatever it is, or you need help, you know, just anything. So I have a great network of friends around the country that I've met, you know, whether I grew up with them, whether I went to school with them, whether I worked with them or met them through other people or met them professionally. And sometimes we don't always talk all the time, but we can pick up where we left off. There's some people we, you know, we communicate, you know, it's electronic all the time. Other people, we hear each other's voices. Other people, we're in each other's faces. But the bond is strong. And I just love my friends. They've just been super great. And, I think it helps keeps me centered. And I think everybody needs that, too, because sometimes you need a personal reality check, you know, where somebody can tell you something about yourself that you need to work on so that you, you know, turn your weaknesses into strengths and you make your strengths even stronger. And one of the things we were talking about, people getting along, a number of my friends are also in the same field. They're also journalists. And some people are perplexed, like we may be going up for the same opportunity, and people say, well, how can you talk about that when you're also competing for the same thing, you know, where both of you are applying for the same type of thing and stuff. You know, we'll say, well, you know, if it's meant for her, then I'll be happy for her, and if it's meant for me, she'll be happy for me. You know, not to say that I'm not competitive, because I'm in a competitive business. So particularly when I was working at magazines, you know, I'd let the staff know, don't tell anybody what's on the cover. You know, or even my friends, if we worked at competing magazines, we might be supportive of each other, help each other out, but we drew a line on some things that we knew that we shouldn't talk about for competitive reasons. And it was good-natured. We weren't vicious about it or anything like that. I don't believe in the machetes in the back, although I've had them in mine. But, you know, I just feel that there's enough to go around, enough blessings to go around, and sometimes it's not your time, and you have to understand that. And then the whole thing about things happening because, you know, we've had a challenging economy and a lot of things going on, is that what's going on with you, there's something worse going on with someone else. So you have to kind of look at the joy in life. Bills aren't going away. A lot of things, you know, life happens, and life will provide challenges to you, and you have to find a way to work through those things. So I think that if you don't have the right attitude about it or have some type of faith that sustains you or whatever it is that sustains you, that it makes it harder to get through those things, and they affect everyone, you know, whether they're in large ways or small ways or little ways that nick at you every day. But you have to kind of keep putting one foot, you know, before each other and be thankful for each day that you have above ground, as people say.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really a good thing for us to realize, too, that the relationships that are before us, the people that are around us, there will be many ties, and many of them will actually bind us for, you know, sometimes for a lifetime. So I think that whole competitive thing, again, can present itself in a way that's, again, an illusion and not a reality. I know one of my life mission is to try to help as many people as I can via, you know, ways to inspire and motivate, and I've done it for the great part of my life, and competition is the last thing that ever comes to my mind. I would really like for women, men too, to know that for each of us, there's a real piece of this world for us. And it's for us. Nobody else can have it. It's your little piece of this existence that says you can do and have whatever it is you want if you want to go after it. You can't have what's mine. Somebody else can't have what's mine. It's really mine. And so I loved your response to that. I want to ask about the whole messaging about being single. I know a couple of years ago there was a special, I think it was with Steve Harvey, maybe around the time or some influence he had with it, where the Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady movie had come out in book. And you know, there's this negativity surrounding being single and having too many, you know, things on your wish list for Mr. Right. And I know I even saw something recently that I, you know, made me turn my head and, you know, with my brows furrowed about if a woman has been single too long, something's wrong. And I thought, well, okay, I guess that's one thought and one theory. But I really, I asked as I looked at that, I thought, whatever happened to being single and happy? Do people realize that you can be single and you can be happy and while you're in your meantime, regardless of how long that time is? And it's really okay. In the great majority of our lives, and I know I've been single for quite a long time, it doesn't mean that you're struggling for anything as far as obtaining a relationship. I think you get to a point where you understand the need, your own needs, and what you want and what you don't, and position yourself for a different kind of engagement and readiness when somebody comes to your life. And you also realize everybody that comes along isn't necessarily there to be permanent. And so what are your thoughts when you are sending out messaging regarding married women and single women?
Well, we embrace where you are, and there's not one way to be, just as you said. One of the first pieces we ran was a piece called Falling in Love with You, because we also recognize the importance of that you have to put yourself first, and you have to, if you're looking for love, you have to love yourself first in order to attract it to yourself. But then also in terms of, you know, just even in terms of all the things on your plate and dealing with family and things like that, is that you have to put yourself first, that there's more of you to give if you're in a position to give to others and you're a caregiver or whatever, things like that. But I think that sometimes other people beat up on women too much about being single or where they are in life. And I've seen a number of women torture themselves over it too. And I think if that's what you want, it will come. And I think people pick up on that, whatever partners you're looking for, that if you're receptive to love, it will come to you. I mean, I found that in my own life, you know, that sometimes when I wasn't looking, that's when it came to me, you know, when I wasn't stressing out about it. And I think particularly, and I've lived in probably at least two or three of the cities that they say have the most terrible ratios, you know, for the male-female ratio. And I think that we can't buy into that either, because that doesn't necessarily, you know, sometimes it's not exactly accurate, and you have to break it down to what it truly means. And it doesn't mean it's going to apply to you. It doesn't mean that whatever's going on with someone else will apply to you. I was looking at, there's a researcher at Howard, Ivory Tolson, and he was looking at that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was a high percentage of women, he said, black women who do get married at some point in their lives if that's what they want. They may not get married at 25 or whatever, but, you know, it may happen later in their life. And there were, you know, when he really looked closely at the statistics, because one of the things that he does is look at the truth behind the statistics about the whole thing about what's going on. He focuses a lot on what's going on with black boys, but he looks at some of those things with relationships too, to look at the truth behind it. And it's not as bad as what people are making it out to be. So it doesn't have to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. At the same time, there's different strokes for different folks. So, you know, as you mentioned earlier too, not everybody wants to be married. Some people are happy, you know, they're single and satisfied. And we have to stop judging people based on whatever's going on in their life and stop allowing people to judge us based on sometimes erroneous statistics that they have or skewed statistics. Or even if the statistics do exist, it doesn't mean that it applies to everybody. You have to go behind the numbers, and it's not necessarily your reality. Your reality is your own personal reality. So I think we just have to kind of like really embrace what's meant for us and what we're looking for and what we want out of life.
And that's a pretty big take charge moment in any woman's life when she can determine those things about herself without listening to the messages or the statistics and quotes that have been shown that say this is who you are. Of course, there's some realities to some things, but as you said, not with all things. That does not have to be you. I want to ask about your messaging regarding health. Tell us about some things that are still the most prominent areas for African-American women to pay close attention to, of course, overall health. But you mentioned earlier about the breast cancer situation, how there just as many black women and white women have that same issue, but we sometimes, for various reasons, won't get the care and support that we need. What are some of the other health concerns that we want to make sure we send out a little bit of an alert to while we're talking on the air?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, two things are stress and weight. Sometimes we don't like that O word, overweight or obesity. But if you're 30% above your ideal weight, you're technically considered obese. And, you know, a lot of us have been in that space before or are in that space currently. So part of it is dealing with the reality of that. And even if you take off, like, at least 10 pounds, that, you know, is a big boost to your health, and it reduces a lot of risk. But we should try to, you know, be in a healthy weight and eat properly and, you know, making sure we get enough rest, making sure we drink enough water, all the things that our mothers and our grandmothers and our aunts have told us for life, you know, and that they did. Those are things, too. And then looking at our family tree, too, we need to look at the illnesses that run in our families and, you know, and find out, you know, what certain people really died from in our family and look at how we can address that. One of the things that we do at my family reunions, we have an annual Peter Rice family reunion, is that sometimes we have a number of nurses in the family, so sometimes we will have, you know, fitness activities or they'll do health sessions sometimes talking about some of the things that we have in our family, on our family tree, and what we can do about it to help improve those things. But some of the things that affect us a lot, you know, the high blood pressure, watching salt and sugar, the weight issue and stress, that will help with a lot of different things. Because even like with the weight and the stress, that affects fibroids, it affects a number of different things. So learning more about that, talking to our doctors and going to the doctors. So, you know, sometimes there have been studies that say that even when we have benefits, health benefits, we don't always take advantage of them or get regular checkups. So we need to do that and not be afraid, you know. And that's the whole thing I was talking about, being supportive, too, because sometimes when people do hear something, it's not the end of the world. Some of the most positive people I've encountered in my life have been dealing with some really chronic health conditions, or they've had cancer or things like that, and they've been truly inspiring the way they, you know, the way they fought it and have, you know, and are still, you know, beating it, or the way that they lived out the rest of their days, you know. So we're all not going to be here forever, but we have to make the best of the time that we are on this earth and really take care of ourselves. One of the pieces we just started to post today is dealing with health and fitness ministries at churches around the country, and how a number of them are expanding their ministries, having health fairs, you know, doing blood pressure checks after church, doing walks, having church challenges with, you know, what we call spiritual sparring and a little bit of trash talking sometimes. But, you know, they're doing things to help get their members healthier. And sometimes the church dinners, making those a little healthier too, the breakfasts and the dinners at church, saying that all the chicken doesn't need to be fried.
Some of our health concerns are so dominant, I guess, that when they hit you, we think they're so normal that there is no opting out of it. And I just want to say, and you can reflect on this also, that when things like diabetes or high blood pressure and several other symptoms hit, I know people who have overcome those things with exercise and diet, and I think we probably can emphasize that there is a choice, a conscious choice that can be made to be healthy, to maintain your weight and, you know, choosing the right foods. And it's not always the easiest thing, but I can think of a few people who have literally saved their lives just by making a conscious choice to eat differently and to get a little more exercise, and who are diabetes free and who no longer have problems with high blood pressure also.
Yeah,
I think
we have
amazing.
An example of a woman on our site too who did that. She was diabetes runs in her family, and she was determined not to fall in line with that, and through exercise and modifying her nutritional habits, she was able to step away from that. So, you know, those are the kind of stories we want to tell, more of those transformations about people who are, you know, have overcome something, avoided something, you know, whether it's a health situation, whether it's drugs or alcohol, whether it's some other type of transformation in their life, to tell, you know, more of those stories. But all those things that make a big difference, we can't give up. I think that's one reason, like, particularly with the diabetes, because so many different things, you know, even just a little injury or cut or something can be devastating if you have diabetes. And we have a high amputee rate because some, you know, and we need to bring that down. And that doesn't have to be. That's something that can be avoided depending on how you take care of yourself, you know, from your nails to everything else. So, and even like monitoring the sugar levels too, because, you know, that can also lead to things like vascular dementia with it spiking up and down so much. So, you know, trying to maintain the levels or trying to avoid it altogether. So there's a number of different things that, you know, if we have it, we have to control it. We can control it and manage it so that we can still be healthy. A lot of people have a lot of conditions that they don't talk about, but they're, you would never know it because they're managing it. So, you know,
right.
That's the thing about, when I was talking about, we're trying to be proactive and solution-oriented in it, is that certain things that happen to you don't have to be a death sentence or the end of the world, or, you know, you don't have to kind of roll up and let it affect you and make you miserable and make your health worse, too. There's ways to work with a number of different things to heal or to, you know, kind of hold them at bay as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. And to realize that some of the things that we do as far as our diet and lack of exercise and all of that, that lifestyle and those habits can be broken and can be changed. And, you know, that's what I was alluding to. Sometimes we just do the buy-in because it seems so very normal when we look around at family and friends and other people that we think that is the sentence that we've been given. But so much of it can be, you can flip the script on it. It just takes a little bit of conscious effort and determining that that's just not going to be your lifestyle. So that's great. I want to
And more women are doing that too.
Mm-hmm. They sure
because
are.
Because they are looking, they're looking around and seeing that in their families, and they decide they don't want to be there.
That's exactly right. I want to talk about something you know a lot about, that's success. And I know that most any woman in her early 20s, 30s, and even beyond, that's important to us. It has all different types of shapes and forms and levels of income. But I want to talk about it in a couple of different ways, for motivating, of course, and what your magazine is doing to show women opportunities, perhaps in getting more education or going into business for themselves, things like that.
Yes, that's one of the areas we want to do more with. Some of the women that we've mentioned already in some of our articles are, you know, are doing well or accomplished, starting their own businesses, things like that, or reinventing themselves by changing careers. You know, if they've been downsized or if they've always had a dream that they've wanted to follow. And so we'll be doing more of that and doing financial makeovers and, you know, things like that, more professional development kind of activities. And we hope to do some, you know, webinars too, so that people can do them online, or whether we can do them in person, or whether we're sharing information through articles as well.
What would be some of the things you would share for your own way of achieving the things that you have, Yannick, you certainly had to have a pretty disciplined mindset. You stayed in that industry. You have achieved things that are so notable. What would you say to women, just in conversation, if you were sitting down with any one woman, what would you tell her are the things that are on your must-do list if you want to achieve a certain level of satisfaction and success in your own life?
Well, I think one of the things is to always believe in yourself and to be your biggest cheerleader, because sometimes you'll get mixed messages. I've worked for a number of newspapers and magazines and websites, and, you know, some of them the largest in the world or in the country. And, you know, sometimes people will tell you, you know, at the same time you'll hear you're wonderful, and then the next minute you'll hear that you're not all that. So you have to kind of figure out what the truth is in there, because you can't be a good editor and a bad editor at the same time, or a good writer and a bad writer at the same time. But maybe the message is, maybe the person is being a hater. Okay, so that's one thing. Maybe the person is being threatened. Maybe there's an area that you need to work on that you can improve to make you better. So you have to look at where the truth lies. Sometimes you won't find any truth, but sometimes there'll be a message in there that I need to tweak this, or this is an area of improvement or growth for me. And seeing where you want to be and talking to people who are doing some of the things that you want to do and finding out how they got there, but at the same time realizing there's not one roadmap to get there too, because then sometimes you'll find people will say, well, you didn't do it this way. And I've had kind of an unconventional path on some things, and because I like to try different things. So, but it all worked for me. And then also learning from things when you're in a valley too, because sometimes you have to know when it's personal and when it's business, because sometimes things happen because of what's going on in the economy or what's going on in the industry, or a company's being downsized, or there's a merger or acquisition, and it's not necessarily personal. So sometimes you have to kind of keep up with what's going on in your field and in your company or your organization, so that you know if you need to make a move or if you need to align yourself with different people, if it's time to do different things. And also for me, it's been kind of listening to God, because I always say God has a sense of humor too. And sometimes I'll just say, mm-hmm. I don't know what you have in mind, but I'm going to try to roll with this and see where it takes me. And sometimes it's opening a door to tell me, you really want to do X, so you need to move so you can make that happen. And that's how some of my opportunities have come too. So there may have been like a challenge, or there may have been, you know, a lot of change going on in an organization, and I removed myself from that situation, and then it just opened other doors for me to do other things. When I was in college, I always wanted to work for magazines, and so some of the different moves that I made at different times opened those doors so that I could run one. I was able to run it with someone else's money at the time, but I was able to, you know, get that experience, and it was, you know, a wonderful experience. And sometimes also I've been a risk taker at times too, because I've turned down jobs in anticipation that something would work out and believing that it would work out. And sometimes people said, are you crazy? Because one time I gave up a six-figure job to do that. Fortunately, everything did work out. But that was when BET Weekend was starting, I turned down something because I felt that whoever did the prototype would get the job, and I always wanted to start a magazine. And I'm glad I listened to myself, because it did all work out. And, or some of the things that I've gone through at different times have helped me help other people, because then I could tell them, you know, when this is looking like, you know, what it looks like, said, okay, you need to consider doing X, Y, and Z because this might happen. Mm-hmm. Or helping people manage change. So one person I was working with, he said that I was a good change agent, because I helped people deal with it, because change is hard for people. But because I have a level of flexibility and a level of risk-taking, you know, healthy risk-taking, not just kind of crazy risk-taking, but that I kind of learned to roll with things, and because I've been in a deadline profession where sometimes you have to publish something in a matter of minutes, and learning how to stay calm under pressure, I've helped other people learn to stay calm under pressure while being their advocate, letting them know I have their back, and they had an ability to trust what I said. So, and that's helped me too, because people have followed me from organization to organization and worked with me because they know I really do have their back and I really do mean it, and they can depend on my word. My word is bond. So they know that I will go to bat for them, and if I can't get it, it can't be gotten, because I've done everything I could do short of moving a mountain and blowing it up, because I've really tried to do that, and that I will let you know whatever I can let you know about a situation or something like that. So I've prevented, you know, mutinies or, you know, just a lot of disruption during challenging times, you know, just by helping people stay calm and helping them work through it, and in some cases helping them make their next move if, you know, if a company was being shut down or if a division was being closed or if there was going to be a merger or whatever was going on, is helping them manage through the process, you know, professionally mm-hmm. and personally. So, you mm-hmm. know, and some of those things have come through things that I've been through in the past.
For sure. Well, I heard you say quite a few things in that, and a couple of them I jotted down, that we need to go in the direction of our dreams, that we should not be afraid to be risk takers and to really do you know, whatever that may mean, make sure it's in the vein of what you want to be doing for yourself. And then that big, real big one that you just talked about is to know that challenges do face us and that we can embrace it, we can take it by the horns, and we can conquer and be victorious through that. I want to ask about one last thing that's real big with us. Actually, it's not one thing, but it's all it falls under one umbrella. When we talk about image / self-esteem, there's a few things that come to my mind. Hair, our hair, our skin color, which hair and skin color, that whole thing truly baffles me, and I really want to hear your reflections on that. And then our size. You know, my thing about size is that I always say, if you are unhealthy at a particular size or unhappy enough that it's just making you miserable, that's when you got to look at changing. Otherwise, we come in so many beautiful, wonderful, lovable sizes that, you know, when you learn to love yourself, you're going to be really, really okay with that. You can talk about that too. But let's start with our hair and our skin. You know, I think... You know, I think we have wonderful hair, even when it's the nappiest. I guess it's just my sense of who we are as African American women, and I have truly seen some happy nappy women, and I mean the kind of hair that, you know, it's nappy hair. But I look and I think, man, you are wearing that so loud and so proud, and it just, you know, it just makes me proud too, you know, when I see it. So I want you to talk about that, and then the whole skin tones from light to dark. And I, you know, have read things recently about how some feel insecure on both ends of the spectrum, and it baffles me because I just think we are some of the most beautiful in the species of human beings. And so I love it that we have so many different tones and reflect it so well. But what are your thoughts on the image and self-esteem that goes along with it?
I love it too. I think we do have to embrace the skin that we're in, and in our hair especially. My hair is natural. I wear it in all kind of different ways. So when it's nappy, it's really nappy. So I wear it very nappy. I wear it twisted. I wear it braided. I wear it, sometimes I get it flat ironed, and, you know, so I'll wear it straight and curled. So I just say, I just tell people I let it do what it do. So mm-hmm. from day to day. Yeah. So sometimes it's a surprise when I'm getting up and I have to figure out something, grab a scarf or a headband, but, you know, I just roll with it. And so, and I had a perm once upon a time, but it was breaking my hair. So I just think we have to embrace that. And I think that, you know, I think that however you want to wear your hair is a personal choice, but I think we have to be happy, you know, like you said, being happy, being nappy. And I know that's a lot of women, you know, say that and are pushing that, and more women are, you know, embracing their natural hair too. But sometimes I see people who have weaves who I don't think they really love it or anything. I think it's just a standard of beauty that they feel that they have to embrace. Some women, they feel it is fun, you know, and they just like the ability to change. But I think that I think it sends a different message sometimes to younger women and girls that you have to have it a certain way. And I don't think we have to necessarily buy into certain standards of beauty if they're not our own. I think we have to embrace our beauty, whether it's, you know, the size or fullness of our nose and lips and hips or the various rich shades we have, and they're really beautiful no matter what they are, and the different types of hair that we have, and all of that, and not buy into it. And I think there's too much of that that still persists. I have a couple students for their final projects that are doing things related to colorism, and we've had a lot of conversations about it recently, and it's just amazing to me that we're still dealing with some of these issues, and we're about to head into 2014. You know, you'd think that they would have, you know, we may not still have a paper bag test, but, you know, people still say a lot of things related to skin color and hair and size that aren't healthy and aren't welcomed. And I think we have to counter it when we hear it and make sure that our children grow up with different messages too. You know, the whole good hair, bad hair thing, you know, just a lot of different things. And we have a lot of work to do. We really
yes,
do.
We do.
But that's one of the things we're trying to do on Fierce also. If you look through there, we have a lot of different sizes and different skin tones and different hair textures, you know, on the site. And as I mentioned earlier,
yes,
also showing women of different ages too. So you don't always see women of different ages in the media either.
Right, right. Well, that's good. I guess it all may boil down to what really makes you feel good about you, you know, to appreciate, you know, that the sense of beauty really is within. I know we say that a lot, but it's true. How you feel about you, and if that feeling about you is beautiful, it's going to radiate on the outside, and it just makes your hair and your color and your size look all the more fierce. That's my thought about it.
I agree.
Well, I'm wondering if there's anything that I may have left off today that you'd like to say in reference to empowering black women. And let's be sure we send them to the website and any other places for information that you'd like to share.
Okay, fierceforblackwomen.com is the website, and if you Google that or put Fierce Black Women or Fierce for Black Women, you'll find that on every social media from Facebook to Twitter. But I wanted to thank you and to thank all the wonderful readers too for their support. Like I said, we've only been out for a few weeks, about a month now, and the support has just been really phenomenal and encouragement, and it really shows us that, you know, we're filling a void and meeting a need, but the support has just really been fulfilling in terms of letting us know that we're on the right path and going in the right direction. So, you know, I encourage women and men to spread the word and, you know, let us know the things they'd like to see on the site, and, you know, we'll just let other people know about it, and, you know, follow us through all the social media, sign up on the site. We have giveaways periodically, too. It's a great feeling so far, and we're really happy to be doing this, Sherry Crute and I.
Well, I'm excited and proud as a black female. I've been talking with Yannick Rice Lamb, one of the co-founders of fierceforblackwomen.com. Be sure you check it out. Yannick, I want to thank you for taking your time to talk with me today and share with Foxology Today listeners what you're doing. And I wish you the bestest and the most blessed of success as you guys go forward. I will definitely be keeping up. I'm kicking up my fierceness a notch.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. You enjoy
okay.
your day.
Okay,
thank
you too.
Again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank all of you, of course, for being the most fierce listeners on the planet. Thank you so much. Please tell your friends and family in your social media platforms about Foxology Today, and be sure you tell them about today's program because it was really awesome. But, you know, I'm biased. I think all of my shows are awesome. So until next time, I want to wish you a fantastic day. and I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next time. Be blessed.